Isn't this a sport show?
Back to sports!
Thank you, every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome to the maiden voyage of Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. My name is Joshua Briscoe, as you heard, I think at least two or three times throughout that intro, if you count my Twitter handle, which at this point is legally part of my name. This is show number one. I don't know how long this era is going to be of the, what I think will be known as the Almost Entirely Sports era. But this is the first day of it. Maybe this will be 2,000 years. Maybe it'll be 20 days. But I could not possibly be happier to be here. My name is Joshua Briscoe, running the show today and tomorrow, and hopefully for a good long time, Beards McFly, Nathan Wilhelm. You may have heard these golden pipes on Sports Sunday over on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I have now gained the privilege of moving over to ESPN Kansas City in addition to Sports Sunday, where I will be here from 4 to 6 every single weekday. Not this week, because Thursday and Friday, there's golf here. But theoretically, every weekday. That's the plan.
A minute in and we've already started out with a lie.
Well, true. And we've already started out by getting, you know, bumped by golf. But that's okay. That's okay. After doing three straight days of radio, I don't know how I'm going to be feeling. I might be a little deflated at that point. That's okay. But the plan is 4 to 6 weekdays here on 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. And I am just thrilled about this show's very existence. I've had an unbelievable time on Sports Sunday, but Sports Sunday was a pre-existing show. It already had a life before this, before me. You know, this was clearly its best life. Clearly, is actively its best version of itself. But it already had a life before I stepped in. This is a brand new baby that I'm absolutely thrilled to get to nurture here now. And I wanted to get to explain a little bit of my view for what this show is going to be before we get into all the topics of the day. And there is a ton to talk about today. The Royals split a doubleheader yesterday in completely backwards fashion. The Chiefs are in training camp. Things are happening. Things are happening across the NFL. Jay Cutler's being pried out of retirement. Colin Kaepernick is just a topic still, not on a team. There are a ton of things going on right now. So these 2 hours today, I think, are going to fly by. But I wanted to explain how I hope this show goes and how I hope that you interact with it. First of all, the phone number here is 913-491-8255. That's 491-TALK, T-A-L-K. Add that to your contacts, because it's not as easy to remember as the one for 810. That number's super easy. This, I had to read it off of a sheet 15 feet away from me. So I'd love to interact with you that way. You can always tweet me at JB Briscoe, and I will do everything that I can to bring those into the show. But what is this show going to be? Maybe you're hearing these dulcet tones for the first time because your car radio was broken and it just got stuck right at this exact point on the dial. Maybe you're tuning in on purpose. Either way, I'm very glad to have you here. I love sports, and I love talk radio, and I love sports talk radio. But I also love other things. This show will be almost entirely sports. But I think it's the almost that's going to either, you know, make fans or break sports fans. Maybe that will probably be the differentiating factor, because I love pop culture and music and comedy and politics and movies and TV and podcasts and being entertained and hopefully being entertaining. So I really think that this is going to be a unique show. I hope that the voice of this show develops. And I hope it's as unique as it can be, because I don't think there are a whole lot of radio shows who are willing to go very, very sportsy, and then also go outside the lines. This doesn't make this a dumb sports show. I love the Dan Le Batard show. I think a fair criticism of it is that they don't do a whole lot of sort of smart sports talk, because they're kind of constantly raging against the sports talk machine. What I want to do here is I want to do the best sports talk we can possibly have, and then also have the best possible talk about the fact that, you know, Jerry Jones threw a $16 million Hall of Fame party yesterday, or 2 days ago, whatever that was. And that will come up in today's show. That's my goal here. I want this show to be smart and funny. I want it to be calculated and improvised. I have a lot of hopes for what this show is going to be, and I'm hopeful that you will you'll join for the ride. One other thing that I am happy to get to bring in some hopefully new listeners to is the idea of getting to see, or I guess hear, the sausage being made a little bit. That's something else that Le Batard does really, really well. He talks about how they just will sometimes produce the show on the air. And here's a piece of it right now. In the studio, in this ESPN 1510, ESPN Kansas City 1510 993 studio, the button that's supposed to use, supposed to make my microphone go directly to the board op, today being Beards, that button doesn't work. So if I want to talk to Beards while we are on the air, you're going to hear it. You have to. And that's not usually how this works. Usually, if I'm blabbering on and then there's a bit of silence, I can push the button and go, get the D4 sound. And that's how that ship sails and looks professional. That's not how this is going to work. This show, I want this show to be as genuine as possible. I want you to get to see some sports radio sausage being made. Gross. That's something I love about the Le Batard show. Something I love whenever I love from podcasts I've been listening to for. I remember listening to the Fantasy Focus Football podcast, like its first season. I was like 13, and that show would do nonsense, and they would complain about the things that were going wrong, and I love that. So I hope that you also either already love that idea or that you'll stick around to learn to love it, because it's simply the most fun version of radio that I've ever heard, and I hope that this show is both smart and fun and funny, and we're gonna do everything here that we can to make it be all of those things. And occasionally Beards will run interference and will try to ruin all of those things, and will try to make it every version of terrible that he can, because sometimes that's how he finds his worth here. He just tries to destroy what I'm making. He's now stroking his bearded chin like an evil movie villain. So there are a lot of things going on right now, as I've mentioned. And there are so many things right now that I don't even know what justifies being the first topic. I want to talk about Jerry Jones, and I want to talk about Nate Carnes' rib, and I want to talk about Pat Mahomes, I want to talk about Anquan Boldin. And I've also been told, Beards, this is how this show works. I've been told that there's an echo currently on this entire show. I'm guessing that that's how that person is listening to it. That's the problem. I don't know if that's through the airwaves or through the app or on the website. But Beards is now looking at the board intently, trying to figure out, no, nothing. Everything is fine. So hopefully that's not the problem. How perfect would that be, though? How on brand would it be as if this show started off by having a first segment just get launched through an echo cave? It would be very, very on brand. But assuming that that's not going to, you know, cripple the whole thing, which is just sort of how I'm going to have to think through this. Let's start off with what's going on in Denver. Because if there's anything that I love as much as I love talking about the Chiefs in general, I love talking about the Broncos whenever there's chaos happening. So Vance Joseph, the Broncos head coach, was asked today. He was doing his like post training camp press conference thing, and he was asked about who's starting the first preseason game between Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian, and this whole saga unfolding in Broncos training camp has gotten some amazing run on Twitter. Because it's just pure chaos. But Vance Joseph had to talk about it today. And listen to how he answers these questions about the quarterback situation, and then ultimately his rebuttal to the idea that one of these quarterbacks has gotten a lead over the other.
Vance, have you made a decision on who's going to start on Thursday?
Which position?
Quarterback, sorry.
Quarterback position. Yeah. Yes, it's going to be Trevor. It's going to be Trevor first. Well, he's been first out all spring and all training camp. You know, I think Trevor's earned that much, you know, to be the first guy out.
Does that indicate he's in a slight lead? Or
No, guys. No. He's first out. He's been first all training camp. He's been first out all spring. Okay, it's an open competition. The games matter. The games start Thursday. So I want to get to the game so we can get to the bottom of this, right?
No. Don't even for a second think that any of these quarterbacks have looked any sort of good. How dare you? That's simply offensive. I think this is very clearly God punishing the Broncos for the deal with the devil that they made to get Peyton Manning and then to go get a Super Bowl with him as his, like, head was fused directly to his shoulders. None of it mattered because he was Peyton bleeping Manning. And he was just a perfect robot. I think this season, a little bit of last year, but this season especially, I think it's going to be the season of chaos. The season of the Broncos suffering for their sins. Sorry, again, real quick, Vance Joseph. Anybody taking a lead here?
No, guys. No.
No? Okay, hold on really quick. Thank you, Vance. I am going to hop on my motorcycle and drive away. Click.
No, guys.
My engine won't start. Well, I got to turn the key one more time. Hold on.
No.
So it sounds like, right? It sounds like a motorcycle that won't start and or a head coach with no quarterback.
No, guys.
I think that's so great. I saw somebody from Denver tweeted it, and I went and I found the audio on the Broncos website, and it's just too good. I love it too much. More news happened today. Anquan Boldin signed a one-year, $2.75 million deal to go to the Buffalo Bills. And this upset me because the Chiefs have like $9 million in cap space still available. Because remember, they cut Jeremy Maclin. And this bothered me because that's a price at which I would have absolutely accepted Anquan Boldin. I do think, though, you can read into this a little bit. I think the reason that the Chiefs didn't end up bringing in Anquan Boldin is because they think he would be sort of redundant to Chris Conley, which I don't think says great things about Chris Conley, because Anquan Boldin's like 65 years old, and I think that he and Conley at this point in their careers are probably relatively similar. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be thrilled about that if you're a huge Chris Conley fan. I was out at training camp Thursday and Friday, and throughout all of training camp, for anything anyone else has said, I've heard or seen nothing special from Chris Conley. He's largely been exactly Chris Conley. So you can expect him to have a step forward. He might just be what he was last year. And if he was what he was last year, then maybe that's an okay third or fourth option. But if we keep waiting for his explosion, I'm not so sure that we're going to see it. And I would have gladly accepted Anquan Boldin onto this team for $2.75 million. I tweeted about it, and somebody tweeted back at me and said that we've got to believe that the Chiefs are happy with their current group of receivers. And even though fans and media aren't, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. They put in a claim on Bruce Ellington, the wide receiver that the 49ers cut a couple days ago, and he ended up going to the Jets. And that would have been kind of a kick return guy to add to the mix, but also would be some speed. And I think the one thing that the Chiefs at this point are going to need more of is some sort of speedy guys, because I think Chris Conley is just going to be a possession receiver. Tyreek Hill, I've talked about ad nauseum. I talked about Tyreek Hill on Sports Sunday. I talked about Tyreek Hill on What's on Tap today. I've talked about Tyreek Hill on Facebook Live. Every platform I can get, I will tell you that Tyreek Hill is going to be the guy that revolutionizes this offense this year if he's used appropriately. But I would like to see some more speed elsewhere in this offense. Kareem Hunt's the other guy that I've been keeping a really close eye on, that I've been very happy to see become a bigger and bigger part of this plan. I think he's going to be a gem. So we'll break down a little bit more of that here coming up in a little while, and we'll go over to the Royals, dip our toes in that water, and I will explain to you what's going on with Jerry Jones' Hall of Fame party. All of that after we take this first break in the history of Almost Entirely Sports. I'm tearing up a little.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
LeBron or Jordan, Hitler or Stalin, next!
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's such a good, simple little liner. Good job, Pierce. Nice work. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. I gotta tell you, my social media have been lit up the last 15 minutes. Mostly from people saying there's some sort of echo, or some sort of static, or it's very the audio is quiet. Listen. Here's what we've done in the break. During the break, this is perfect. This is also producing the show on the air. I didn't really expect to fulfill all of these things in literally the first or second segment, but here we go. Let's make some sausage. Sausage? Sausage. Hey, guys. Sausage Redemption, that movie with Morgan Freeman. The app, the TuneIn app, is a way that you can listen to this show. Theoretically, search 1510 on the TuneIn app. You'll probably find it. However, today, there's an echo on the 1510 app. There's a 1510 station on the TuneIn app. I don't know why. I'm sorry. We can't reach it. It's too far away. At TuneIn on Twitter. Tell them to fix their bleep. 1510.com seems to be going well. We know that the signals for 1510 AM and 993 FM can be kind of spotty. That's why I was very hopeful that the app would work. And if all else fails, I'm hearing the echo is gone now. I got to report the echo is gone. If all else fails, though, Beard says he did it. You didn't do anything. If all else fails, the show will be podcasted at links that I will tweet out at JB Briscoe on Twitter. Eventually, the show will be in iTunes. It'll just take a couple of days from now, so before we get there. I think we've cleaned up everything. We're 20 minutes into this show. Like, not into today's show, but like, we're 20 minutes into this show's existence. We've already cleaned up a few messes. I think we're doing okay. Here's a headline. Look, Jerry Jones throws wild Hall of Fame party that reportedly costs $16 million. All right, so listen. I mean, there are a few different Americas. I think sometimes Bomani Jones tweets about it as like a race thing. I think there are at least two Americas socioeconomically. And I don't even mean like between like me and like someone making, I don't know, six figures. I mean, there is a difference between literally everyone and Jerry Jones. And maybe some, like, oil prince. But if I ask you, hey, you have to spend $16 million on this one private party, I don't know if you could do that. I don't know if you could spend $16 million. I don't think I could. How would I begin spending $16 million on a party? I spent like $84 at Target yesterday, and I'm still upset about it. I was buying groceries. I need those to live. And I'm still reeling. Like today I ate oranges. And I've got a cheddar cheese flavored ramen cup in my backpack. Like I bought too many pastries at Target yesterday. over Jerry Jones yesterday, or Friday night, spent $16 million to celebrate his own celebration. Think about that. Jerry Jones spent $16 million to celebrate the fact that he was being celebrated by the NFL. Talk about bleep you money. What can you not do with that? And so I don't even like, I don't actually know how you do this, how you make this happen. But Jones said this before the party. He said, well, the idea of wanting to demonstrate or show just how much it meant to me and our family for me to be able to go into the Hall of Fame will clearly be evident by the party tonight. I'm not going to disappoint. I know that. No, I'm sure you didn't. And then the next paragraph is exactly this, the CBS Sports article. This next paragraph is exactly, is asking the exact question that I have been asking. So if you're wondering how you can rack up a $16 million party tab, the first thing you do is hire Justin Timberlake to give a two-hour concert at your party, and that's exactly what Jones did. So I guess that's a start, but what do you think Justin Timberlake's value is to do a two-hour party?
I also was looking up because I was like, what are ways that you could spend to get up to $16
million? Yeah.
The most expensive liquor in the world, Pasión Azteca, is $3.5 million a bottle.
Is that a tequila?
Yes.
Find more about, what was it called again?
Pasión Azteca.
Find me more about Pasión Azteca. Because what on God's green earth are they putting into that to make that a $3 million bottle of tequila?
The bottle is platinum and white gold and adorned with 6,400 diamonds.
So that's about the bottle.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like vodkas that do that. I was like, here's a crystal skull bottle. Like, okay, you're still like potatoes in there. And I also just realized that I think this whole thing is the plot of Brewster's Millions, the movie where he has to spend a bunch of money to get an inheritance or something. I've never seen it. I just know that it exists, and I like the concept. I think Jerry Jones just Brewster's Millions this party. He brought in Justin Timberlake to sing Suit and Tie and Sexy Back, and also Elvis for some reason. Because I guess Jerry Jones likes Elvis, whatever.
There's also a cognac that's $2 million because it was aged for 100 years.
Okay, so like that is getting to, like, that's almost real. But is the bottle
also
still...
Also, the bottle is sterling platinum and 24 karat gold with over 6,000 diamonds.
God, that's that doesn't count. You can't do... That's not a party favor. You can't give those out. That's a gimmick. I said we're going to be the most expensive alcohol in the world. Again, you've got... You're made of potatoes or something. You're made of grain. You're not worth $3 million to me. He also had custom napkins with a definition of a Jerryism on it. Jerryism, noun, phrase, who knows? An excerpt from an interview, press conference, or dialogue with Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Causes confusion by the audience, friends, and family. Holds a deeper meaning that very few people understand. There's also a second... There's a second definition. It says, to see also circumcision of a mosquito. Crippled crickets bleep. That napkin took a turn. It's not a phrase anyone's ever said until today. But even that, like, all right, Beards, keep doing this for me, please. Go find out how much it costs to get custom cocktail napkins. Like, here, look at this picture. You see, it's like a little black napkin, and it's got, like, gold letters on it. It's not, like, made of gold. Like, it's just, it's got gold lettering.
And not even gold lettering. It's like somebody typed out a paragraph on this.
Yeah, what I just read, that definition that I just read is on the whole napkin. It just like, stamped on there. So find me how much it would be to get, I don't know, 2,000 custom cocktail napkins. We're not going to be able to spend $16 million on this. I would love to. I'd love to play around in the space a little bit and figure out how we're doing this. Well, hold on a second. Let's go ahead and pause this entire show and figure out how you can possibly spend $16 million on a party. But, like, I could have custom napkins if I wanted to. I could have gotten custom napkins for my graduation party. I couldn't have gotten Justin Timberlake, but that's still not $16 million. What is his fee? What is JT's fee? Realistically, if I was like, hey, I want to have you come to a two-hour show in Dallas... Here's $2 million? That's enough, right? That feels like plenty. 913-491-8255. How would you spend $16 million at a party? Did you find something, Beards? You put your hand up.
I did. Totallypromotional.com. You can make your own custom cocktail napkins.
Yes, can
they
we do this
range
the show?
From about 12 cents, I'm assuming a piece.
Yeah.
To 79 cents a piece.
There's probably a bulk thing in there, yeah. You know, where you're feeling. But for what's the minimum number of cocktail napkins you can get, of custom cocktail napkins?
I will find out.
I hope people are listening to this show, either like hearing me for the first time or like tuning, like, oh man, this
There's
is exciting.
Free shipping, so he didn't spend anything
on
shipping.
Oh, hell yeah. Look at that.
See? Cutting costs on that $16 million party.
People are listening to this because I've been talking about how I've got, you know, my own show, my own daily show that I'm starting. So people are tuning in right now like, oh, let's listen, let's see.
Minimum quantity is 50.
Okay, can I finish my sentence, please?
Yeah.
people are tuning in because I've been like, oh, I'm starting a show. Here's how you can listen to it. And like, well, the app doesn't work. And also, your whole show's about napkins so far? All right, what did you find, Beards? What did you find?
Minimum is 50.
Okay. Free shipping. That's what, $70 a piece? 70 cents a piece, excuse me?
Up to 79 cents a piece, yes.
So let's go ahead and say 80 cents times the minimum. What's that price tag coming out at? Do the math for me. Because I would love for us to have some almost entirely sports merchandise. Literally just custom cocktail napkins.
$80. We can expense that.
I've got. This station's right by the president's office here in the building. Just go pop your head in there, Beards, and ask him. Man, I would love to put like a little lapel mic on you and make you do that. If this wasn't the first day of this show, that would be tremendous. Or go into whatever, find a salesperson. You can ask anybody. Like, hey, could we get...
We'll just bring him in here and ask him on air.
Yeah, perfect. That'd be great. Boy, now I'm really wondering if we should do that. Because it'd be really funny, but I also don't know who we would ask. I don't know who'd have that kind of power. We'll work on that. There's a reason for you to keep listening to the show today. We might, Beards. Okay, hour two, perfect. We might ask a promotions person or something if we could get custom napkins for this show. Because they're trying to be like Jerry Jones. Oh, Beards. Hey, also, before you go, ask him if we can get Justin Timberlake to record a custom like intro jingle to the song. To this show, I mean. See if we could get JT to do an almost entirely sports jingle. Maybe record a promo or something. But cocktail napkins are definitely priority one, for sure. Even if they can only have one, regardless of the price. That's the one that I want.
Two ply or three ply?
Do you have ply napkins? Aren't they just like one?
That's
and then
what
like
it
they
says.
Fold? Really?
We can do three ply.
That's
we can do two
option?
Ply.
Oh, man.
So we got to go expensive here if we're trying to get to $16 million,
right? Right. Well,
three ply.
Right. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's true. Jerry Jones definitely was buying three ply napkins and like volunteered to pay $1 million for rush shipping. Like, there's no, it's impossible. I kind of want to go straight into talking about Patrick Mahomes right now. I think that's how this show's going to work. We're going to do some napkin talk and then like, hey, Patrick Mahomes is at training camp. Cause there's a lot of really good small stories happening right now. Like I spent all day today, going through and just coming up with these little, like these small little things like here's one. Okay. Royals pitcher Nathan Carnes kept a piece of his own rib after surgery. That's a good headline. And this actually happened right after because, you know, he had surgery for, I think it was thoracic outlet syndrome, which doesn't make any sense unless you, like, are a doctor. Yeah, thoracic. I said thoracic. I think that's a period dinosaurs lived in. Carnes was diagnosed with thoracic outlet syndrome, a neurogenic condition caused by the compression of nerves near the neck and shoulder, which ended his season, and that's why he had surgery. It can be fixed with surgery, but you have to remove part of someone's rib because I guess it's pinching a nerve somehow. I don't understand it at all. But Jeffrey Flanagan tweeted this out a couple days ago. Said Nathan Carnes was back in the clubhouse, and yes, the surgeon gave him the partial rib that was removed. It will be a necklace someday. How good is that? That's the best use of an extra rib since Adam. Let the joke land. Here we go. And, right, because number one on the list, rib turning into, like, women, like an entire, you know, like all of women. And then number two being a rib turning into, like, a dope necklace. Like a little like, biblical alliteration kind of thing. Not my audience, Beards. You're not flying with this one. Fine. That's all right. That's okay. I'm 100% standing by that joke. Best use of a spare rib since Adam. I think that's completely accurate. I also, by the way, think we didn't ever get an actual look at Nate Karns in a way that we would have been able to appreciate his value. He was hurt well before the All-Star break, and I remember I was running the board for the program. And Seren was talking about how he just thought this eventually was going to end his season because as soon as you delay a DL stint, it's really bad news, which is also strange enough where the Royals are going to be with Salvador Perez in a few days. But I think Nate Karns actually as a part of this rotation would have been widely appreciated. Might have even not had the trade for Trevor Cahill and the other guys from San Diego. Not that was a bad trade. This show is living in too many places at once. I'm tired right now. Because I'm afraid that we haven't spent $16 million on exclusively napkins. And I also want to talk about, you know, we're at Salvi now. It's going to be a very free-flowing show, which I'm very excited about. Let's talk about Salvi for a second. The Royals are going to be playing the next, I think, 7-8 days. I've gotten two thumbs up, by the way, on the rib puns. I just got notifications pop up of people validating my rib pun. So, Beards, you can go to hell. I was talking about Salvador Perez on Sunday whenever the news came out that he was being moved to 10-day DL. The Royals are going to be living without Salvador Perez, I think, for the next 8 days minimum with his sort of like rib muscle injury, essentially. And the Royals are going to really struggle to survive without him for a lot of reasons. Drew Butera is going to be fine defensively. He can't hit nearly as well as Salvi can. But the problem is that the Royals' offense has been struggling to keep up their run production in general. Yesterday was nuts. Yesterday, the Royals split a doubleheader in the most unlikely possible fashion. Like they started off by losing a game 8-7 because Danny Duffy got completely shelled and gave up 7 runs in the first 2 innings. Although only 3 of those were earned runs because they had like they screwed up the pickle or whatever. Bizarre game. Beyond those 2 innings, though, the Royals led 7-1 for the rest of the game, which kind of puts the first 2 disastrous innings, I think, in perspective because you were up 7-1 through 7 innings and lost the game. But so that gives you a pretty morbid feeling about the doubleheader. I saw that and was like, oh, well, this is not great. You put your best starter out there, he gets absolutely shelled, and then Jake Junis is going to start the next game. God have mercy on our souls. And then Jake Junis, who hadn't started a game since the end of June-ish, threw down 8 innings of one-run ball. Because nothing makes sense anymore. And Junis has been pretty good here and there. Good starts, bad starts, whatever. But last night was incredible. He went 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts, 94 pitches. Through 8 innings. That's incredible. Now, of course, Moss and Escobar and Gordon didn't hit, but that's par for the course. The Royals scored 9 runs without those guys collecting a hit among the 3 of them in that second game. Even Cam Gallagher, he got the start because you don't want to make Butera catch back-to-back games. Cam Gallagher is the guy that they called up whenever Salvi got hurt. He went 1-3. He scored in his first major league start. So the Royals now are in like this really bizarre position where yesterday they split the doubleheader. They continue their 500-ish ways. And now they have no Salvador Perez for the foreseeable future. The offense yesterday was great. They scored 16 runs yesterday in 2 games. Feels like more than they scored all of July, essentially. But I'm not incredibly optimistic about the offense right now while also losing Salvador Perez. Because here's the thing. I know the offense can cover up for a loss offensively. I know they can. because they've been doing it this entire season with Alex Gordon. This whole year, they've been playing a guy who has performed essentially like a defensive replacement. They've been playing him every day. So I know that the Royals can have offensive success with kind of a useless bat towards the end of the lineup, because frankly, Brandon Moss has been very up and down. Elcides Escobar has been down in the middle, and Alex Gordon has just been down. I know that they can survive that, but I don't know if they can survive that with three or four of those guys. Because again, yesterday with the win, they scored 9 runs without Moss, Escobar, Gordon getting a hit. I think one of those guys had a hit in the first game. Collectively, though, they had a really atrocious performance. And the offense still held out, which is great. But here's the thing that I ended up saddling up to. Here's an idea that I was spitballing yesterday. I already was on board with the idea of Jorge Bonifacio getting more playing time as Melky Cabrera joins the team again. I was already fine with Alex Gordon being the guy who spends more time on the bench. But I think now the Royals' hand is even more forced going forward. Because you can drink up the small sample size of yesterday, or you can look at the larger picture of how this offense has worked, and specifically Alex Gordon's showing. I think he might be batting 199 now. I think he might be back under 200. If not, he's in that neighborhood. And unlike Brandon Moss, who's also hitting terribly in general, Alex Gordon is bringing no power to this either. It is a flat, Beard confirms, it is a flat 199. Like, those are seeing eye doubles, seeing eye grounders that are getting him to that 199. Do you have his whole stat line up right now, Beards? What is Alex Gordon's stat line so far this year?
336 at-bats. He has, let me see here, batting average 199.
Beautiful.
On base is 289. Slugging is 298. Yeah, what are
his RBI?
OPS is 587.
What are his RBI and home run numbers?
RBI, he has 34. Home runs, he has 5.
He has 34 RBI in how many plate appearances?
386.
I mean, that is atrocious. Now, aside from the fact that you're going to be paying that guy millions and millions of dollars for the next several years, which is the unfortunate truth, with that aside, for this year, you are already a team that is going for it. The Royals have kept their assets. They went and brought in more guys. This team is going for it this year, obviously. That has to continue. You have to continue going for it to a point where you are willing to say, listen, Alex, we know what's going on here. We know that we're paying you big money. We know that you're going to be playing left field here for the next 3 years. But right now, this lineup needs more power, especially in the absence of Salvador Perez. Because now, the bottom of this lineup, the lineup came out today, and I don't have it in front of me. I don't really need it. I know the bottom of this is Moss, Escobar, Gordon, Butera. I think that's the bottom of this roster right now. I was advocating for getting Gordon out of that lineup whenever Salvador Perez was back in that rotation. Because then you're only having to deal with Brandon Moss's ups and downs. You're dealing with Elcides Escobar's relatively flat existence. That's an offense I can get behind. Alex Gordon is still a black hole in this offense. And Ned Yost talked about it a few days ago and said, you know, maybe we'll get to a point where maybe we'll get to a point where we have to make some changes. I think Cody Tapp's about to flash me. Oh, he was coming back for his ESPN Sports Center Kansas City time. Beards, go tell. Yeah, come here, Cody, really quick. Hey, I'm sorry you had to find out this way, like with your like wife with another man, your time slot with another man. But we killed Sports Center Kansas City.
But it starts at 5. It doesn't start at 5 anymore?
It starts at 6 now.
Oh.
It starts at 6. You just come over here. Are you on air at 6? Or 7 today?
6 tomorrow.
Okay, well, today you have time then.
Oh, great.
So you can come go ahead and improv a Sports Center Kansas City.
There'll be no one to run the board, and it won't go on the air, I take it.
You can do it. Boom. I had to do that on Sunday. I had to start the show by myself.
It's been a while, but I could probably handle it.
It's not that difficult. Like, Beards can do it, so can you.
Yeah. Small requirements. I've seen, you know, Beards presses. Look, he's like, has it like four things.
I'm wondering right now, like, what he's doing in this exact moment, because I feel like this probably ends in eventually your mic just turning off and you not realizing it.
So
I go back to talking about how I want Alex Gordon to get benched, and then you just talk, but I ignore you because your microphone's not on.
Alex Gordon getting benched is not the worst decision.
No, it's not! Okay, I haven't pitched this idea to you, so let me pitch this to you, and then we got to take a break. I know, Beards, I know we have to take a break. I was on board with Bonifacio replacing Alex Gordon before Salvi's injury, but now it makes even more sense because this lineup needs power really badly, and it needs actual hitters, and Alex Gordon is batting 199. Do you know how many RBI he has?
25? 25?
I just lost it. I had it, and I lost
it. It's not very many.
34. He has 34 RBI in, like, 360 plate appearances. 386 plate appearances. That makes me want to gag. That is abysmal. So give yourself a powerful outfield. You brought in Melky Cabrera so you could sit Bonifacio, please.
This team started winning when they stopped having a black hole in the bottom three.
Mm-hmm.
There was Escobar, Gordon, and Moss.
You got
to go back to that because it's going to be Butera, Gordon, and Moss.
Well, today there are four black holes at the bottom. I mean, Moss has, you know, some ups and downs, but I think today the lineup is Moss, Esky, Gordon, Butera. The top five of this lineup looks so good right now. The first five. Whit Merrifield hit two home runs yesterday. Like, there's nothing this top five can't do. And then it just dissolves into nothingness. Also, Cody, if you had to spend $16 million at a party, how would you do that?
On a party?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because Jerry Jones freaking did the thing.
He did it right?
He spent $16 million celebrating his Hall of Fame induction.
I'd like to think... And by the way, the poster for that made it look like an R.I.P. Jerry Jones photo.
Well, depending on how hard he went, maybe he's getting marionetted around.
I'd like to think it'd be like Entertainment 720's last party from Parks and Rec. You know, everybody has a goodie bag, fun the entire time, Detlef Shrimp handing you shrimp off a wall. Like, that's really ideal
but
way
that's,
to get out.
But that's like if you had to spend $1 million on that party, you'd have a hard time. All right, Beards. All right, fine. Cody,
pleasure. No show at 5. Got it.
I'm sure that SportsCenter Kansas City could come back if you want it.
From the grave?
Yeah, sure. Zombie show.
Zombie. We actually do it at 5 a.m. now. That's the zombie show.
Dude, that's perfect. I'll come in and run that for free.
5 a.m. every Monday through Friday.
Also, it's not even on this station. It's just strictly straight to podcast.
Yes.
It's just a podcast show.
But we have to record it at 5.
That was pretty sportsy. That was a pretty sportsy segment. That was almost entirely sports. Ayo!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sorry for the long pause. I had to sneeze.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm still allergic to everything in the air. Spring and summer are Satan's seasons.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 993 FM, 1510.com. TuneIn app. Just go to the TuneIn app and search 1510 and it shows up. I've been told that there's no echo problem anymore. Something terrible happened last segment. I accidentally watched Fox Sports 1. For the first time, I saw some of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock's show. It was muted, but it was on this TV in front of me. And I'm realizing now that like that's our counter-programming. And I hate that. Like I need to put this on. One Sunday morning, I had like ESPN on one screen, which is how it is here. And the other screen was on like Jack Hanna's Wild Animal Adventures or something. Beer's just like fist pumped. Is that because of the show or did something just happen on the computer?
No, Jack Hanna.
Okay, great.
I remember that when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's still on. And I just had that on the whole day. And occasionally I would talk about like, you know, the Chiefs being torn apart by the Broncos and then like a seal being torn apart by a larger seal. And I like that dynamic, although, you know, I'm not going to. All right. Inside my own head currently, I'm debating how interested I am in comparing Jason Whitlock to a big, gross seal. I'm not going to do it. That's me not making that joke. I've really convinced myself of this whole Jorge Bonifacio thing. I'm really pretty sure at this point that that's the way to go, and I was sure beforehand, but I can't like talk myself into the logic that Ned Yost is clearly implementing. But they just love veterans so much, and it just makes the team worse. That's largely upsetting.
I had the thought last night. I was watching the game. We need to invent, for the Royals, the designated fielder.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes, it would be perfect.
It's just for us, though. Nobody
sure,
else gets
that's
to use
fine.
It.
Or maybe it's like, maybe they make the DH universal in the American League. It's like, bleep you guys, we want to have some weirdness that you don't get to have. We want to have something exclusive. Give us a designated fielder. It'd be great for the Royals. You throw Alex Gordon in left field, let him roam around and catch a bunch of fly balls. Chew gum, blow bubbles, whatever, grow his beard, shave his beard. Then you get an actual major league hitter to bat in his spot. It would change the game. Or maybe they just need to let the pitcher hit and they use the DH for left field. Is that reasonable? I think it's sort of reasonable. What's Danny Duffy's average? Can I get him at a party at $16 million?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This next hour is going to be nuts.
With Joshua Briscoe.
You're going to have to buckle up and then just put your head between your knees and put your hands over your head like you're in a plane crash. Which, by the way, isn't going to help if, in fact, you ever are in a plane crash.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, 1510.com. Search 1510 on the TuneIn app. We are here 4 to 6 every weekday. A 2-hour daily show. It's very exciting. We won't be here Thursday or Friday, though, but that's not normal. The thing on ESPN in front of me is the news of the day, or the news of yesterday, the news of recently. The Dolphins signed Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler came out of retirement for the Miami Dolphins because Ryan Tannehill's knee exploded in training camp. 1 year, $10 million. In a vacuum, I get it. If you believe that Jay Cutler is the best available option in this vacuum world, I understand. But did you hear what Jay Cutler said about, like, coming back? Like, he said his wife probably talked him into coming back for another year of football, so that Adam Gase was recruiting him, took $10 million. The logical step immediately after trying to figure out what the Dolphins are going to be with Jay Cutler is to figure out why Colin Kaepernick is still a free agent. And remember, like, this was a while ago. Remember the arguments and people were saying, like, hey, Kaepernick isn't being blackballed. Nobody wanted Jay Cutler either. People just don't want old quarterbacks. Whoops. Or Kaepernick isn't being blackballed. Just wait till the team loses the quarterback in training camp. Whoops. And I was tweeting about it some, and I got into back and forth with a guy who was just saying he's not worth a distraction. Colin Kaepernick is not worth a distraction. First of all, the Dolphins just became the story of the offseason by signing Jay Cutler, but regardless. You can say that Colin Kaepernick isn't worth a distraction, but you're simply going to be wrong. Because distractions don't cost you football games. They just don't. When's the last time that a team lost a football game because their quarterback was too big of a star or too big of a story? The Jets weren't losing games with Tim Tebow because he was too big of a distraction. They were losing games because of poor quarterback play. Distractions don't lose you games. Bad quarterback play does lose you games. And this isn't even just about Miami. I understand that Cutler and Adam Gase had some familiarity, but also, Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback at this point by a lot. He was a mess last season. Niners were a mess last season. He also threw as many touchdowns as Alex Smith did in his terrible last season. The only thing that I'm really sick of, and because I really like, I'm not having a great time talking about Colin Kaepernick anymore because I just, we're kind of at an undeniable point here. The only people that are still driving me nuts in this conversation are people who are contending that there's a logical reason for not signing Kaepernick that either involves his play or the idea that his distraction would make the team worse. Michael Vick got a job. Tyreek Hill is going to be a huge piece of this Chiefs offense this year. Ezekiel Elliott might be suspended for a couple of games. Maybe he won't be, but he's a story. Jay Cutler is going to be a big... There are distractions everywhere. Now, again, this guy I was talking to on Twitter said, well, is Fox News, is MSNBC going to have a reporter at any Cowboys games? No. But if you're a football team that's going to be derailed because there's an MSNBC or a Fox News or a CNN reporter in your press conferences, you are a weak, weak franchise. Super Bowl week is nuts. Super Bowl week, there are people from every news organization on the planet asking ridiculous questions about ridiculous things. They have a whole week for all of that. Has any team ever said they lost the Super Bowl because their quarterback was being asked too many questions by too many news outlets they weren't familiar with? Get out of here. Like, if you can just admit to me that Kaepernick's not getting playing time because owners are being cowards, then that's then we can move on. But that's what it is. And it's upsetting to me because, again, like, it's showing that the line in the sand that's being drawn by NFL teams is a political slash social stance, and the line in the sand that's being drawn is placed there not only for making a statement, but also for making your team worse. The Browns and the Jets and the Dolphins, and if the Ravens lose Joe Flacco and the Ravens, would all be objectively better teams with Colin Kaepernick playing quarterback. The Jags, all be better teams with Colin Kaepernick playing quarterback. They just would be. I think you have to be able to admit that Colin Kaepernick has shown more than Blake Bortles has. The Broncos. We just talked about the Broncos in the first segment. The Broncos have no quarterbacks. The Broncos are being screwed over right now by their own indecisiveness, by their own poor draft picking, and by their own unwillingness to sign Colin Kaepernick. I would be way more afraid of the Broncos with either Tony Romo or Colin Kaepernick playing quarterback for them. I don't think they'd win the division with either of those guys, but they would be better. So why don't the Broncos make that move? Because they don't want to deal with it. Because they're saying, you know what? We would rather have Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch fight that out to lead this team with a ton of talent everywhere else to lead this team to a mediocre season than to deal with the mess of Colin Kaepernick. That upsets me because we don't see that anywhere else in the league. A woman tweeted out a picture of her bruises after Greg Hardy had beaten her. And there were multiple times when Greg Hardy's domestic violence came up. And eventually that was enough to keep Greg Hardy from coming back. Eventually that was it for Greg Hardy. That is the only instance in the entire NFL that I can remember a guy having his career cut short while he could still play by an off-the-field issue. Michael Vick went to jail for 2 years and came back because he showed something 2 years prior, and he was in jail for the 2 years in between. Ray Rice eventually got cut by the Ravens and didn't make a team again because he was on the downslope already. Josh Brown hit his wife, the kicker for the Giants. He got a one-year contract soon after. Because he can still kick. It's widely objectionable to me because the logic is not consistent with anything else we know about the NFL. If the NFL was obsessed with having completely faceless, voiceless players, then I can see your logic coming through. That's simply not how it works. And I think it's hugely political for a lot of people. And this is not a completely perfect broad brush to paint with, but I'm going to try. Ja Reed, the offensive tackle for the Chiefs, he had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker last season. If that cost him his job, would you be pissed? I would be. And Tom Brady also had one, which I didn't. I just didn't compare him. I didn't bring Brady into it because Brady's greatness is at a level that is sort of even more transcendent. You can create a guy in between. You can create a guy who's essentially Colin Kaepernick. Trying to think of a good comparison. If Andy Dalton, again, I don't think anything of Andy Dalton as a quarterback. But whenever he is done with his contract with the Bengals and they give up on him, he'll be a backup somewhere, and justifiably so. Josh McCown is the starting quarterback for the Jets right now. Quarterbacks get jobs. I would take Colin Kaepernick over Andy Dalton in a vacuum. But let's make it Andy Dalton. I have no idea what Andy Dalton's political preferences are. I have no idea where he stands. But if Andy Dalton was doing interviews in a Make America Great Again hat, would that be reason enough to not bring him onto your team? On a quarterback needy team, would that be good enough reason for the Jags to not sign him? I'm being shown a picture of Matt Stafford. What's going on, Beards? Talk to me.
I was just throwing another comparison out there.
Right. That's a better one. That's a good call. Let's say Matt Stafford has his contract run out, and then he's just a free agent. And in his last season before his free agency, he becomes a vocal Donald Trump supporter. Or he comes out and says that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group or something that I've heard people actually say. Something like that. Give him a very right wing extreme stance for him to take. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and 2 years from now Matt Stafford is on the market and he had a bad season on a bad team, and then, you know, the year before he had shown some real sparks, and the year before that he had been in the Super Bowl. I would say that I would want my team to sign Matt Stafford. And I think I only create this world where Matt Stafford is like an alt-right quarterback because I think a lot of people are really getting lost in the politics of it, so you don't see kind of the baseline offensiveness. You don't see the baseline problem that's here. Because it's not actually a problem with the content for me. I'm not objecting. I'm not even dealing with the content, which, again, would be a probably more interesting conversation. And eventually it gets brought in, because if you're going to accuse Kaepernick of saying something really, really harmful, then I guess you have to deal with the content itself. But I'm not, in this conversation, I'm not even dealing with the content. Because I simply do not think it is at a point where you would say, well, that content is so offensive that blank. Like, I think it was a player for the A's who used a gay slur a couple days ago and got suspended for 2 games. I can't think of a time when a player has said something so offensive that he was sent from the league. So I'm taking the content away here. You should be able to make a social statement and not have that cost you your job if you're still qualified for your job. And I don't think that's a super radical thing for me to say. But my Twitter mentions very often and my Facebook messages virtually constantly would have you believe otherwise. So maybe that's neither here nor there. Maybe the what should be side of things doesn't actually belong in this conversation, because people aren't going to be rational about it. I understand. You bring in like patriotism and political conversations and people are going to just go, nope, don't want them. But I would just challenge you to like also look at the other side of it, flip it around. What would you say? I think it's interesting. I think it's worth talking about. Back to Cutler. Dolphins are going to stink this year. It's not going to matter. I think the Dolphins would have been better off with Kaepernick, especially because they have an offensive line that's currently held together with like rubber cement Brandon Albert was traded to Jacksonville and then retired. But they did lose Brandon Albert this offseason, if I've got all my stuff straight. That offensive line is a mess. Jay Cutler cannot move. I think he's 36 years old. He's not a mobile quarterback ever. He was injured all of last year. The Dolphins are in trouble, regardless of Matt Moore or Jay Cutler being their quarterback. I'm glad they went and signed Jay Cutler because it gives us something interesting to talk about. Also, by the way, like Ryan Tannehill would not have gotten that team into the playoffs. It's the best of those three options. But I don't think that would have mattered either. The team's just not going to overtake the Patriots. They have Golden State in their division. It's going to be unstoppable. I'm not going to do team-by-team record predictions because that doesn't really appeal to me. But if I was going to go through the Patriots schedule, I would have a really hard time assuming that I'm going to find more than two losses on that schedule. It's insane. Like, they won the Super Bowl last year and then got significantly better this offseason. That's pretty buck wild. Phone number here is 913-491-8255. Save it in your phone. Call in if you feel like it. I'm happy to talk about Kaepernick if you have a disagreement with me. I just ask that we both listen. I will not have my heart set on it. But the phone lines are open if you're very upset with me for some reason, or if you think I'm, doing okay. This show, if you're tuning in for the first time, if you turn in today to hear SportsCenter Kansas City and you're going, where the hell is my interview from 810 earlier today? I'm sorry, it's gone. It's dead. In its place, we have Almost Entirely Sports. My name is Joshua Briscoe. Nathan Wilhelm Beards McFly is running the board. That's not two people, by the way. If I didn't say is and just left that ambiguous, I could probably convince people that there are two people running the board right now. Same person. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe if you're finding any of this even slightly interesting. Or, and if you're not, fine. Still follow me, though. Like those Twitter followers count. Just retweet me constantly. Get me to a new audience. And then tell them to follow me. And then retweet me. And eventually, I'd spread out and I cover this entire universe. I think today's been a pretty good snippet of what a sports show that's almost entirely about sports looks like, right? Spent a little time in Colin Kaepernick. Spent a little time in Jerry Jones' $16 million party. Spent a little time in Salvador Perez getting hurt. Maybe I should say on, not in, for all of those. Regardless, whenever we come back, I want to dive into my Chiefs discussions. There's some sound from Patrick Mahomes earlier today that I want to hear from. I want to look into. He talks about what it's like having a bunch of offensive minds around him. I found all of it very, very interesting. We'll do that whenever we come back here in a little bit. But I guess we're gonna take a call first. Beard's name is Blake. Is it Blake? We're at a place right now with our technology where it's not working totally flawlessly. So let's go to Blake. Blake, you're nope. Hey, Beard's bad news. Oh, there we go. All right, it worked. Thank you for fixing it. My button didn't work. Blake, you're on Almost Entirely Sports. What's up?
Josh, what's up, man?
Is this good news, bad news? Oh, Blake, I know this, Blake.
Yeah, this is the Blake that's been heckling your show for the last hour and a half.
Very good. Well, I eventually turned off my phone and I minimized my Twitter because I couldn't see anyone else talk about the echo currently going on. So I had to turn it all away. But what's on your mind?
Well, I think the cap thing is pretty regrettable, honestly. The fact that we're still with the Dolphins, for example, I don't know. I don't know if they just don't have the backbone to go for it, or they just don't. I don't know. Is it too big of a bullet to bite for GMs? I don't think so.
You wouldn't think so. That's the thing. But here's the thing, and it's owners more than GMs, I think, because there was the report. I'm not furious with the Dolphins. I'm pretty upset with the Ravens because Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome both said that they were cool with bringing in Colin Kaepernick, and the owner was crowdsourcing the idea and talking to sponsors. That to me is the height of cowardice in this situation.
It's just hey, it's like asking the girl that you want to date through a friend to make sure that she likes you. It's pure insulation. It's really dumb. It's really dumb.
It's, 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 really, It's hugely frustrating because, again, the thing that really just grinds my gears with this whole conversation is, first of all, I am a little surprised we're still having this conversation. If you have told me this like 10 months ago, I would be shocked.
If we were still talking cap. Yeah.
Yes.
I would be shocked.
Because we were on. I think I was running the show for Sports Saturday or Sunday, like the day after it happened. Although it doesn't make any sense. Was it a preseason game? I don't remember.
It was a regular season. I don't remember. September.
Actually, it's like when the story broke because people didn't realize what was going on until like Friday. So we were on that show and we were talking about how like this probably wasn't going to have much legs once the actual like season was really underway. And holy God, are we wrong? But the thing that gets so frustrating is that I think we get so polarized by the politics of it that people, we should all be able to agree at this point, I think, that this guy should be in the league, because if you believe in any way that
a chance to be in the league, like,
yes,
he should be in camp somewhere.
Yes,
like,
because the NFL and sports in general, I think, constantly label themselves as being a meritocracy. They want the illusion of actually being about simply what you can provide. Tyreek Hill would not be in the league, in any league where it was really about PR or about, you know, making sure you had good, quiet soldiers on the front lines. It's a meritocracy. Tyreek Hill is going to be, you know, one of the 20 most interesting receivers in football this year. Like I say that conservatively. So he's on a team. Colin Kaepernick is one of the 30 best quarterbacks in football, and there are 100 quarterbacks on rosters right now.
And the thing that's interesting here is, as a social commentary piece, more than anything, the term meritocracy, and I think the word that I would use is social economy. So supply and demand, market is driven by demand.
Yeah.
Right. And if people really don't want Colin Kaepernick, I mean, as an owner or a GM, I think that holds some credence. I mean, or at least there's a logical statement of like, okay, if America, okay, again, if one part of America doesn't want Colin Kaepernick and is going to hate my team.
Right. Here's the thing, though, Blake, is we don't, NFL owners are always the guys who are willing to say, you know what, bleep what these guys think around me.
Yeah.
We need to have a winner. Adrian Peterson has a job because he can still play. Tyreek Hill got drafted. If you would have asked the Kansas City area, hey, do you want this guy on your team who you've never heard of, who pleaded guilty to beating and strangling his pregnant girlfriend, would you like him on your team? I think we would have gotten a strong like 98% no response on that Twitter poll.
Oh, yeah.
But
even,
now you
even
see the results.
Even after we drafted him, there's a huge negative response.
Yes. But you see the results now. Now if you went around Kansas City,
he's their number one receiver, and
yes,
he's probably like the third best selling jersey.
Yes. If you go around and say, hey, do you want to boot this guy off of your team, you're going to get no one taking you up on that because he has made your team better. If you put Colin Kaepernick if you put Colin Kaepernick on the Jags and you fast forward 6 or 7 months and said, hey, you guys are in the playoff run right now, you want to boot Colin Kaepernick off this roster, you are not going to get a denial from that. And I think that like Jacksonville would have been perfect because they have these delusions of building a competent team even though their quarterback is Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I was gonna say you might as well just go pick Blaine Gabbert up again.
Right.
For that.
Sure. That's a good point. Do it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna lose, I guess you want to do it quietly. Fine. So be it. All right, Blake, we got to hit a break. But thank you for being the first caller of this show of Almost Entirely Sports. You just took this show's caller virginity or something.
Perfect. That's weird. But I'll take some. some 3-ply cocktail napkins with signatures, please.
Perfect. They will be in gold lettering because we've got a huge budget now.
Ideal. Yeah, I guess with gold leaf probably would fill up the rest of that $16 million budget that you're working on.
Yeah, if we made like 16 million napkins. Blake, thank you for the call.
Okay. Later, Josh.
I don't know how to hang up on this machine. Did I do it? I did it! The machine worked for the hang up button! Do you see that Donald Trump started his own Facebook Live news network? I just saw a tweet pop up about that. I'm not going to talk about it next. I'm not going to. I'm not going to, but it's amazing. But I'm not going to. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes, damn it.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I just hate restrictions, I think. Which, you know, surprises literally no one who's ever spoken to me.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
It's true. I've realized this more and more about myself in the last, like, weeks. Like, the things that make me most frustrated in my entire life are just, like, little restrictions put around me. Even, like, self-imposed ones, it's just infuriating. I don't know why, but it surprises no one who's ever known me. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. Ooh, I just took my headphones off for a second, sort of, like, let my ears breathe, and I heard the air conditioner very loud. Is it very loud coming through? Beards can't hear it. I took my headphones off, and I feel like I'm at the ocean now. It sounds like waves crashing, but I have my headphones over my ears again. I just hear my own sweet, sweet voice, and that's that good stuff. Let's talk about Pat Mahomes. Probably my favorite general Chiefs offseason topic is the fact that the Chiefs have a quarterback of the future. And he's had some really good looks in training camp. I talked about this on Sports Sunday, and I filled it on Between the Lines last Tuesday and talked about this also. Matt Nagy. I trained myself to say Nagy, and then I heard Mahomes say Nagy today, and I am in a whirlwind right now. But offensive coordinator Matt Nagy was talking about Mahomes after his two-minute drill last week, and he was just raving about Mahomes, raving about how he just has this it factor. He just has this composure. He's able to just sort of turn off his brain whenever he needs to in those quick situations and just kind of play by this instinct. And that just was like, that was the training camp heroin. Every once in a while I would just tweet like needle emojis and, you know, hashtag training camp heroin, because that's what we're living for right now as Chiefs fans. I was out at training camp a couple days. I've been paying attention to the training camp reports very closely. And also, when we're being honest with ourselves, we don't know what we're learning. Not only because it's your team versus your own team, but because it's guys very often in shorts, and sometimes they're hitting, but they're not going full speed, and it's not going up against any other team that you know anything about. I'm very optimistic about the defensive line, and maybe we'll hit that a little bit later if we have time today. If not, we'll be back tomorrow. Like, this is a full show here today that we've got. We got to do it again tomorrow, and I got to talk about new stuff, so I need something to happen tonight. Currently, there's a NASCAR TV show on FS1, and I'm probably not going to talk about that tomorrow. But Pat Mahomes has shown some really good things here, and I've talked to several different people about why Pat Mahomes is actually closer to being a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL than you might think. I think it's in large part because the knocks on Mahomes are largely less justified than your average critic would accuse them of being. However, he's not going to start, and I get it. I'm going to be really disappointed if Alex Smith doesn't use Tyreek Hill appropriately in this offense this year, because I really do think this is a very, very condensed version of sort of my larger Tyreek Hill point and everything. Tyreek Hill can completely change the Chiefs' offense if he's used correctly. You use Tyreek Hill to stretch the field, Travis Kelce becomes a vacuum across the middle. Safeties cannot help the single coverage guys across the board. It's not going to happen. You have too much talent in those two guys if Alex Smith uses them correctly. But that's the fear. That's the qualifier. Maybe Alex Smith won't use these guys correctly. Maybe he won't be able to stretch out the field with Tyreek Hill. That's sort of the place where I know I'm eventually going to be yearning for Patrick Mahomes by week like 3, whenever Tyreek Hill was open for a touchdown that would have won the game, and Alex Smith just can't quite get the ball there. That'll happen, and we're all going to be frustrated about it. But Mahomes talked at training camp today, and I thought this was a really interesting insight into his development, into his role in this offense right now, how he's soaking all of this up, and a really interesting insight into Andy Reid, because Mahomes was asked about what it's like to have so many respected minds and voices behind him.
I mean, I feel like it's awesome. Just really having those smart of offensive mind guys tell you exactly what you need to do on the plays you do good, on the plays you do bad. I mean, just really critiquing you all the time. It just helps you get better, helps you learn, and helps you make the better decision the next time around.
many times it's just too tough? They're a little bit too hard on me?
Nah, not yet. I know every time they're talking to me that they're trying to get the best out of me, trying to get the best out of me for the team, and I'm just going to take that in and learn from it.
What's it like playing for Andy Reid, having him right behind you every snap?
It's really cool. It's hard to explain it, but just the little things he says that you would never think of, but then when he says it, you're like, that really does click for me. That really makes sense, and it's just something that you just got to have that experience. You got to have that great mind like he has.
Coach Nagy said last week that he said these guys know he's back there. Do you feel his presence every single play?
Somewhat, but not really. I'm out there just trying to play, trying to do what I can just to move the ball and move the chains. And just having him back there, though, you can kind of throw the ball and then give a look back and be like, hey, was that what you were thinking? Or if that's what we were going for, and he can give you a yes or tell you what you need to do right.
I've never heard anybody sum up what Andy Reid does quite that well. Really. I've never heard it summarized like Mahomes did there in the middle. When he says that you'll do something and then you'll go to Reid and he'll say something that you never even thought of, but whenever he says it, it seems like the most obvious thing in the world. I was blown away by that sort of dissection of what Reid does so well. Because it also made me think of like some like college professors and stuff. Sometimes you just you don't have a clue of how to piece these things together, and then somebody says, "Well, it's just this thing," and you go, "Oh yeah, of course it's that thing. That's incredibly obvious." But I was nowhere near that place of understanding. So I think that is fascinating, and I think it's also great that Mahomes gets it. I think it's fantastic that Patrick Mahomes is in a place right now where he knows what he doesn't know. He's in a place right now where he is working to fit into this offense, and then something will happen and he'll turn around and Andy Reid will say something and he'll go, wow, yeah, coach, that's, you're right. And then that gets applied to the next time he goes through it. I can't write up a better system than that. I can't piece together a more hopeful situation for a young quarterback to be in. Because I really have my doubts that Deshaun Watson is getting that in Houston. Because Bill O'Brien, for all of the praise he gets, like he's just spent time with Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler. Those guys never seemed like they were getting the game explained to them by like a sage. And that's what I feel like. That's why I feel like Patrick Mahomes broke it down. Also, though, the idea that, you know, you know he's always there when you need him to be, but you're not running this offense with the fear of God in you because Andy Reid is hovering above the huddle. I think that's a really important distinction. And now there's going to be some work for Andy Reid to do here on himself, because I think if Andy Reid really does operate that way, it's way easier to not feel like you're in the back pocket of the quarterback during training camp than it is and a two-minute drill in week 16 whenever you've got to have this game against the Raiders or whoever. But if Andy Reid can get to a point where he trusts Patrick Mahomes, where he trusts that this whole operation has worked out according to plan, I think you're going to have a really, really good pairing here. And sometimes I'm at a point now, actually, where I'm not completely sure what the knocks on Patrick Mahomes are or why they're there. Now, it was on Twitter, I think today, people were talking about how, you know, he still looks like he's taking some time to get his reads down and to figure out how the speed of the NFL game works. That makes total sense. That will get better with time. In fact, we're going to see that in the preseason game. We're going to get a feel for that, because for all the things that we will or won't see in the preseason game, a quarterback just playing in an NFL speed game, we're going to get a bit of that. And I'm excited for it. Because if he's ready, great, ahead of schedule. If he's not ready, that makes sense. He's a rookie. And so maybe that makes me sound like an apologist, because I'm saying there are very few things here that are negative scenarios. But I think it is, for all of the problems I have with Alex Smith, for all of the gripes I have with Alex Smith, I'm glad that he's here now, because if Mahomes isn't ready, he's got more time to get ready. Now, to some extent, he's going to have to go through some growing pains as the starting quarterback of the Chiefs. Be it week one this year, week 15 this year, or week one next year. He's gonna have a different learning curve against the number ones in a regular season game than he's going to have against the threes in a preseason game. But I have nothing but optimism at this point for the future of Patrick Mahomes. I think the criticisms are largely overblown. I think everything I've heard from him has been great. I think he's in the hands of the right coach. And eventually he's going to be behind an offensive line that has been around consistently. He's going to have some weapons around him that you can believe in. I think Patrick Mahomes is in a really, really good situation. And it sounds like he's taking it well. So I'm very excited for that. I'm also excited for Friday, the first preseason game. We'll be here for the Chiefs. And you're going to have to watch for things kind of differently than you would in an actual NFL game. Because obviously there's no game planning here. You're not going to be able to see the Bob Sutton defense. You're largely going to see a bunch of guys line up across from each other and hit each other and then see who moves more. But you can do that with large sections of a team. Here's what I'm looking for in Friday's preseason game. There are no frills, but you can see things from C.J. Spiller, Kareem Hunt, the defensive line, Pat Mahomes versus a vanilla defense, and Chontavious Jones. Here are why those five things stick out to me. One, Chontavious Jones, the receiver, has been a name that's been thrown around training camp a lot this year. I want to see how he's used. He's gotten some run with the ones here and there. He's looked good. I want to see where he is brought into this offense. And then how he performs whenever he is there. I want to see if he can get separation from defensive backs that are able to hit him at the line of scrimmage, that are able to be really physical at the point of attack. I want to see it. I want to see Mahomes versus even a vanilla defense for the reasons I just said. I want to see him in the closest thing to NFL speed that we're going to get to have seen him be in. I want to see how he makes his choices. I want to see if he's timid and throwing the ball away whenever he gets a little crowded. I want to see if he's being a gunslinger. I want to see if he's over-forcing some balls where he shouldn't be. I want to see if he's reading it all well. I want to see what he does with what's in front of him. Will it be the most complex piece of Patrick Mahomes' game? Of course not. But I want to see what we can see. The defensive line will be one of the easiest things, I think, to judge because it's one of the most physical places, maybe the most physical place on the field. And I think the defensive line has taken a step up across the board. You got Alan Bailey back this year from injury, replacing essentially Jay Howard. That's an upgrade. There's a rotation at defensive end, but we're going to say Jay Howard. Replacing that rotation, Alan Bailey is a step up. Year two of Chris Jones is a step up above year one of Chris Jones. At the nose tackle spot, if Benny Logan, I think, left practice today. But if he's healthy in there, I'll take Benny Logan over Dontari Poe. And I know that's kind of an unpopular, maybe a surprise opinion, at least, in Kansas City. But Dontari Poe did basically everything well enough. Benny Logan is going to be a force, I believe. And they also bring in Roy Miller, who is going to do nothing but stop the run, but he will do that well. He'll probably do that better than Dontari Poe did. So I want to see how that defensive line looks. Chris Jones won't be in this playing in the first preseason game. I don't know what his timetable for a return even is, but he will not be playing on Friday, surely. And then the running backs have been fascinating. I think Kareem Hunt is already very clearly the second guy. He's third on the depth chart right now. I think he's very clearly the second guy. Spencer Ware, when healthy last year, was better than most people are going to remember. He was just really good. He was more agile than I expected him to be. He was better out of the backfield than I expected him to be. He obviously can deal with short run situations, although the entire short run game really fell apart at the end of last season. But I think if Spencer Ware can stay healthy, he's going to be a force again. And I really, really, really like Kareem Hunt. So I want to see him again going up against NFL talent. And that's the ones, the twos, or the threes. I want to see it. Because he's going to be playing against a third team on Friday that's better than anyone he saw at Toledo. So I'm very curious to see how his speed, how his balance translates to this next level. C.J. Spiller is making a case for this team in a way that whenever they signed C.J. Spiller, I did not expect him to be actually a part of this 53-man roster. He's making a case, though. He's been really good in training camp. He's looked good. He's looked like C.J. Spiller of old, not old C.J. Spiller. Can he bump Tre'Quan West from his roster spot? I'm not sure. Something to keep an eye on in this battle going into the preseason. So there are a handful of things to consider as the first preseason game sits out in front of you. The last thing sitting out in front of you today for this show is one more segment. We will wrap up shop here on Almost Entirely Sports whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Bill Self has had his eye on Steve Mikhailiuk since he was 7.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Which, when you say it that way, doesn't sound great.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm going to get to hear this song like 6 out of 7 days. 5 days a week over here, Sports Sunday over there. Let it play, Beards. Pick it up. It's real quiet right now. Let's hear it. I got my eyes on you. It's beautiful. This is how we end the show. Because after this, we are going home. I am. Beards has to keep working. I just had a lot of thoughts. Literally, like, while the voiceover guy was talking. Because I still had time to laugh at the Bill Self, Svetislav Mikhailiuk thing. Which was, I promise, those things are so rarely actually, like, supposed to go that way. I just said that Bill Self has had his eye on Svetislav Mikhailiuk since he was 7. I very rarely know what I'm going to say before I say one of those dumb things. But, somewhere between the Svi thing and maybe the music beginning, I had like several thoughts in a row. I think it really is going to be a huge challenge to do this for 13 hours a week. And you try to do that repeating yourself. Now, I give myself a little bit of wiggle room. This week is going to be 15, actually. I give myself a little bit of wiggle room if I'm doing What's on Tap and Sports Sunday in this show. You know, filling in, whatever, doing this. Because different audiences and everything. But the goal for me is to have, you know, a consistent listener base from 4 to 6. Or consistent podcast listeners who listen on podcasts. So, saying new original things, especially because I don't like having a lot of guests on, we probably will have, you know, 4 guests a week, something like that, maybe, because a lot of, like, I had Matt Derrick on Sunday talking about Chiefs training camp. He was great. So I need to remember that often guests add a lot. Sometimes, though, guests can be, like, I don't say lazy, because you're feeling a lot of time. Sometimes it comes across that way. I want to have good guests, is what I should say. But I was thinking about how it's going to be really crazy. Like, tomorrow, there's not going to be 2 hours of new sports content for tomorrow, which is why, you know, why ESPN right now is talking about the 10-year anniversary of Barry Bonds breaking the home run record, which is something I'm not going to spend as long as they are spending on. So I thought that. I thought about all that and how it's all, this is just going to be a very interesting challenge over the next, especially, like, you know, couple of weeks as we get into the swing of things. But then I had a second thought before the music began. Part of the way that we're going to use this time is by talking about the fact that we're learning how to use this time. It's sort of self-fixing in that way. I don't have to talk entirely sports for 2 hours. I have to talk almost entirely sports for 2 hours a day. It's funny how that works. Because there's always sports stuff, and especially right now, where we could have spent the whole show today talking about the Royals games last night and how Danny Duffy got shelled and the Royals lose the first doubleheader, game of the doubleheader, and then Jake Junis, the lights just shut off here at the station. 5:50, I guess, they just like turn off the lights and assume that everyone's dead. Jake Junis was throwing heat after Danny Duffy got shelled and they split the doubleheader, but not how you thought they would. We could have spent 2 hours on that. We could have spent more time on Jay Cutler and Colin Kaepernick and the Dolphins and the Ravens. We could have spent more time on training camp. We could have talked about KU in Italy. Could have talked about how the Chiefs' defense has been outperforming the Chiefs' offense in training camp, and I might still do that today. But there's also that, like, wiggle room. That's why I like radio so much, because I've talked to several people as I've, you know, whenever it's like, oh, especially in college, I graduated in May, but especially in college, people say, oh, nice to meet you, blah, 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 what's your major? My major was multimedia. I had a bunch of minors and stuff, but my major was multimedia. It's the closest thing to journalism we had at Mid-American Nazarene University. Shout out one time. It's the closest thing we had to journalism. Worked for the paper a bunch and everything. But you say multimedia, like, oh, well, why is that? Like, oh, I really actually really love radio. I like journalism, but I love, like, broadcast talk radio. And in 2017, that's kind of a weird thing to love, I think. And I mostly listen to sports radio, all radio in podcast form, but it's still the same general medium, especially whenever you're working in a 3 hour, 4 hour block. But the reason that I like it so much is because it gives you this space, these exact spaces, when you go, I've talked about the things I really wanted to talk about today, and I've got 2 more hours tomorrow. What do we do in these last several minutes? It gives you that space to get to know the hosts and the producers, and the audience interaction is different than it is in any other medium. The other thing that I did in college, I think my two favorite things that I did in my entire college experience was working for the newspaper, eventually being the editor of the newspaper, and being on the improv team. And shout out to Action Packed Improv one time. Those are my two favorite things. And this sports radio, really radio, whatever, but in this case, sports radio. Radio is kind of the confluence of those things. It's media and it's covering these other things that are going on. It's criticizing people's decisions, which is like my favorite thing to do. And it's being able to do a long form improv bit for like 2 hours at a time. Because this is something else I was thinking earlier. What if I just stopped talking? What if I was like, you know what, man? My jaw hurts. My brain's tired. I'm going to take a minute-long break. Everybody takes a minute-long break during work. Nobody calculates spreadsheets for, whatever, 9 straight hours without taking a 1 minute break. But if I was like, right now, hey, I'm going to take a 1 minute break. It would sound like that. It would just be that until Beards would ask if I was having like a stroke, and then he would just play like bump music, and then we just join like ESPN or NBC or something national in progress. But that's kind of the fun of it, is that radio is so without a net. I think it's the most fun medium. There's no editing time. I was an editor with a newspaper. There's no editing this. You edit yourself in preparation. You edit your topics, and you maybe you write a little bit of what you want to say. But once this flies out, it is gone. It is across a couple of states. It's in a podcast. You've heard it. Are you gesturing at something, Beards? Oh, now I'm concerned.
Yeah, the 7-second delay that we have.
Right. Is it 3.5 here?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Let's not test that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. But anything that I say has a 3.5-second window of being removed before it hits the airwaves. But there's no editing the content at that point. That's just for if I, you know, say something other than bleep. By the way, one of my friends texted me. They're listening at the beginning. There's no way they're listening now. they're listening at the beginning. I said, did you just say bleep? Did you just cinch yourself with bleep? Why can't you do that at home? I texted back and said, I don't bleep and want to. Need a break. Here we go. I hope you've enjoyed this maiden voyage. This very, very first edition of Almost Entirely Sports. I've had a wonderful time. And we're going to do it again tomorrow, which is, like, kind of, for me, kind of nuts. I've been doing Sports Sunday for, like, 7 months. But that's once a week. That's 3 hours a week. This is an entirely different exercise. But my thank you, as always, to Beards McFly for running the operation. To you for listening, you can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe, which is the real lesson that you should take away from today. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. on Almost Entirely Sports. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.